VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And as always, we thank you for joining us for Crosstalk here on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider today, I am Dalton Windsor. Jim is away for a Men for Christ conference being held in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he's joined by Aaron Schneider, our camp director at Trail Ridge Camp through the VCY America Radio Network Ministry. And we trust a good time for them. And God willing, Jim will be back with us on Monday. Well, as always, we always hear Jim saying, well, we have a stack of news stories before us here today. We will do our best to get right to that, thanks to Sandy, who's been compiling news stories all week long. And as you know, the news, it never stops. In fact, many things coming in within the past few hours that we will try our best to get through with the time allotted here in this hour that we are given for Crosstalk. Again, thank you for joining us. First out, right out the gate, some news that happened over the past, 24 hours. Sad news coming out of the great state of Alabama and Georgia, those areas devastated by tornadoes. In fact, as many as eight tornadoes, they tell us, swept through Alabama and also crossing over into Georgia. Fox News at last report reporting this happening Thursday night, killing at least five and destroying hundreds of homes. To the southwest of Atlanta, the city of Noonan was described by social media users as a, quote, war zone. This all also in the aftermath of the severe weather that felled trees, downed power lines, and tore off roofs. State troopers reporting that one Georgia man had died from a heart attack during the storm. You know, and these type of things happen year to year, month to month. We almost become callous to the terrible news that is out there. But as we get started in this hour, may our hearts and, of course, we lift up our prayers to those who are suffering right now, right here in our nation, those in Georgia and Alabama dealing with the aftermath. And, of course, yes, homes can be rebuilt. Cars can be replaced, but it is for the loss of life that, that we are all grieving for them today. And, friends, they even tell us that there will be more severe weather possible this weekend. So, as we go about our day and into this weekend, we're mindful of all that has taken place there. Well, we'll get further, get into this stack, and wouldn't you know it, on the top of the stack, what's everyone talking about but a big formal press conference that was held just yesterday, the one we've been waiting for, President Biden. President Biden waiting longer than any other president in about 100 years, waited longer than any other president in almost a century to hold his first formal news conference. And we'll share with you a little bit of how things got started yesterday.
Good afternoon. Before I take questions, I want to give you a progress report to the nation on where we stand 65 days into office here, on vaccinations and a few other top priorities for the American people. First, on vaccinations. On December 8th, I indicated that I hope to get 100 million shots in people's arms in my first 100 days. We met that goal last week by day 58, 42 days ahead of schedule. Now today I'm setting a second goal, and that is we will, by my 100th day in office, have administered 200 million shots in people's arms. That's right, 200 million shots in 100 days. I know it's ambitious, twice our original goal, but no other country in the world has even come close, not even close, to what we are doing. I believe we can do it. And today, we made a historic investment in reaching the hardest hit and the most vulnerable communities, the highest risk communities, as a consequence of the virus, by investing an additional $10 billion in being able to reach them. I also set a goal before I took office of getting a majority of schools in K through 8 fully open in the first 100 days. Now, thanks to the enormous amount of work done by our administration, educators, parents, local state education officials and leaders, recent Department of Education survey shows that nearly half of the K through 8 schools are open now full-time, 5 days a week for in-person learning. Not yet a majority, but we're really close, and I believe in the 35 days left to go, we'll meet that goal as well. As of yesterday, more than 100 million payments of $1,400 have gone into people's bank accounts. That's real money in people's pockets, bringing relief instantly almost. And millions more will be getting their money very soon. One final note. Since we passed the American Rescue Plan, we're starting to see new signs of hope in our economy. Since it was passed, a majority of economic forecasters have significantly increased their projections on the economic growth that's going to take place this year. They're now projecting it will exceed 6%, a 6% growth in GDP. And just this morning, we learned that the number of people filing for weekly unemployment insurance fell by nearly 100,000 persons. It's the first time in a year the number has fallen below the pre-pandemic high. So there are still too many Americans out of work, too many families hurting, and they still have a lot of work to do. But I can say to you, the American people, help is here and hope is on the way. Now I'll be happy to take your questions.
And of course, he did just that. President Biden, in holding his first press conference, ended up fielding 10 questions, 10 reporters. It was a very formal question and answer session. And total lasts something of just over an hour. Really, many things are being said regarding the questions that were asked. Was he thrown softballs? Did he really ever get to any facts? And right off the bat, the question came in with all that say that he just mentioned in his opening comments there. The question was asked, Mr. President, can you succeed with all of this that is before you? And his response.
Well, I'm good. Look, when I took office, I decided that it was a fairly basic, simple proposition. And that is, I got elected to solve problems. And the most urgent problem facing the American people, I stated from the outset, was COVID-19 and the economic dislocation for millions and millions of Americans. And so that's why I put all my focus in the beginning. There are a lot of problems, but all my focus on dealing with those particular problems. And the other problems we're talking about, from immigration to guns and the other things you mentioned, are long-term problems. They've been around a long time. And what we're going to be able to do, God willing, is now begin one at a time to focus on those as well. And whether it's immigration or guns or a number of other problems that face the country. But the fundamental problem is getting people some peace of mind so they can go to bed at night and not stare at the ceiling wondering whether they lost their health insurance, whether they're going to lose a family member, whether they're going to be in a position where they're going to lose their home because they can't pay their mortgage, or the millions of people are going to get thrown out of their homes because of the inability to pay their rent. So we're going to move on these one at a time, try to do as many simultaneously as we can. But that's the reason why I focused as I have. And here's the deal. I think my Republican colleagues are going to have to determine whether or not we want to work together, or they decide that the way in which they want to proceed is to It is to decide to divide the country, continue the politics of division. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to move forward and take these things as they come.
And then, of course, they went on to press just again, hitting the same point. Mr. President, do you really see yourself in succeeding in this?
Well, I plan on making progress on all of them, but that's going to be for the American people to decide. I think, you know, I doubt whether maybe you did, maybe others did. I thought many of you thought there was no possibility of my getting the plan I got passed without any Republican votes. Pretty big deal. Got passed. Growing the economy. People's lives are changing. So let's see what happens. All I know, I've been hired to solve problems, not create division.
Well, and we, of course, like the sound of that, right? We want to see problems solved. Some of these problems, though, while seemingly have been around for years, many of these problems have come back around once again, namely these problems at the border. Many would contend we did not have a problem such as this renewed in such a way. And transparency on the border issue has been something that, they have touted. And as we would go along, and we're coming up against the break here already, wow, time goes so fast. But when further pressed on the border, on the issues of immigration, they wanted to know how soon will these things take place? When will we know more? And there began to be some blame shifting. And the president saying that former President Donald Trump's policies were not working. They didn't work. And refused to apologize for any of his executive orders that changed Trump policies that were in place. And I quote here, rolling back the policy of separating children from their mothers, I make no apology for that, said the president. Rolling back the policy of remain in Mexico, sitting on the edge of the Rio Grande in a muddy circumstance with nothing to eat, I make no apology for that. I make no apologies for ending programs that did not exist before Trump became president, said President Biden. Again, this from yesterday's first formal press conference, his first conference in, on his 65th day of his presidency. They're really, as we look back at this, and again, there's so many things being said, but there's a few takeaways and things that we want to go ahead and look a little bit further in as we would progress here on this Friday news roundup and comment. Obviously, something has already been said today looking back on his comments regarding immigration. He mentioned briefly guns. Earlier this week, he was talking about, of course, the tragic shooting in Colorado. We're going to revisit that later this hour. What about the filibuster? And his position on the filibuster, that is something else that we need to cover. We'll hear what the president had to say going back on that when this Friday news roundup and comment continues here on Crosstalk. Do stay with us.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in solidity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back-to-Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. It is Friday news roundup and comment. Again, our thanks to Sandy for compiling so many stories from this these past several days. And, of course, Justin in Master Control. We have Karen at the switchboard here for phones. We'll, God willing, get to opening up the phones for to hear from you later this hour. But we're back to yesterday briefly, looking at President Biden's first press conference, just revisiting some of the things that that took place on his 65th day of his presidency, fielding questions. He took 10 questions, 10 reporters, in this very formal question and answer session. And to proceed here, obviously, you have looked at immigration. Now to talk a little bit about the filibuster. The president hinted that he was open to abolishing the Senate filibuster, but he would prefer to return to the former days and the way things were done. He was asked about the filibuster. Let's listen together.
Filibuster. So filibuster. You know, with regard to the filibuster, I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago. And that is that it used to be required for the filibuster, and I had a card on this. I was going to give you the statistics, but you probably know them. That it used to be that from between 1917 and 1971, the filibuster existed. There were a total of 58 motions to break a filibuster that whole time. Last year alone, there were five times that many. So it's being abused in a gigantic way. And for example, it used to be you had to stand there and talk and talk and talk and talk until you collapsed. And guess what? People got tired of talking and tired of collapsing. Filibusters broke down, and we were able to break the filibuster, get a quorum, and vote. So I strongly support moving in that direction, in addition to having an open mind about dealing with certain things that are just elemental to the functioning of our democracy, like the right to vote, like the basic right to vote. We've amended the filibuster in the past. But here's the deal. As you observed, I'm a fairly practical guy. I want to get things done. I want to get them done consistent with what we promised the American people. And in order to do that, in a 50-50 Senate, we've got to get to the place where I get 50 votes so that the Vice President of the United States can break the tie, or I get 51 votes without her. And so I'm going to say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done. And if we have to, if there's complete lockdown and chaos as a consequence of the filibuster, then we'll have to go beyond what I'm talking about. Okay, hang on.
We'll go ahead and...
Sorry. Oh, same man, Ms. Kim.
And obviously, there's everything on you, every camera and the whole world watching when the president is speaking. And it truly, the Daily Signal comments that it was not clear whether what he said about 120 years was intended as some kind of a self-deprecating joke about his long tenure in Washington. Did you get that? Did you pick up on where the president said, we should go back to a position with the filibuster that existed when I came to the U.S. Senate 120 years ago? We can just give him the benefit of the doubt. He did not laugh, though. He did not smile. And it did seem as if he had to fumble for many words and statistics, many note cards and all of these things before him. And I have notes in front of me as I'm speaking right now. So there's always a time and place for that. But again, several takeaways from yesterday's press conference covering the immigration issue, covering, yes, that of the filibuster. the president's transparency on all of these things. And then to mention the vaccines, 200 million vaccines in his first 100 days. He said that on December 8th, he indicated he had hoped to get 100 million shots in people's arms in his first 100 days. He says, we met that goal last week by day 58 of his presidency, saying 42 days ahead of schedule. And then yesterday, the president saying, now today I'm setting a second goal. That is, we will, by my 100th day in office, have administered 200 million shots in people's arms. That's right, 200 million shots in 100 days. So thankful that we have, this vaccine in warp speed, right? You know, this did not just happen in just this past 50, 60, coming up 60 days. No, no, there was so much that has taken place over this past year to get us to this point. Let that be remembered as well. What about reopening schools? Reopening the majority of schools in 35 days. The president said he expects a majority of schools to reopen in the next 35 days before the end of his first 100 days in office, though he said fewer than half are open now. And maybe just one more takeaway, again, because there's much to get to. One more takeaway. Did you hear the comments from the president yesterday about Xi Jinping being a smart guy? We're talking about China's leader here, Xi Jinping. The president was asked whether he would consider maintaining tariffs, the present tariffs on China, and ban imports of goods that were made there with forced labor. And while the president wasn't clear on specifics, he did lay out his goals for relations with China. President Biden called China's Xi Jinping a, quote, smart guy, but said he doesn't have a democratic small d bone in his body. The president said that the U.S. is not looking for confrontation with China, but it would be a strong competitor. He added, we'll insist that China play by the essential international rules, fair competition, fair practices, and fair trade. Just some of the takeaways shared here from the Daily Signal, and also just the audio provided of yesterday's press conference. Maybe you would like to make a comment. God willing, we'll get to the phones, open the phone lines up to hear from you in the minutes ahead. What are others saying regarding the conference? Western Journal saying that President Joe Biden was not truthful yesterday during his first solo media briefing when he claimed that an overwhelming majority of migrant families are being, quote, sent back across the border. If you take a look at the number of people who are coming, the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people coming to the border and crossing are being sent back, the president said. Well, thousands, tens of thousands of people who are over 18 years of age and single people, one at a time coming, have been sent back, the president claims. However, looking at multiple recent reports, that statement is outright false and doesn't even pass a basic fact check. Oh, we're in a world of fact checkers these days, so let the principle be applied everywhere, right? Well, Biden's administration just this past week actually allowed 87% of those who illegally crossed into the country to remain here. 87% of those who illegally crossed into the country, they get to stay, at least for now. Many of those people who were not sent back were not unaccompanied minors. Axios reported the data shows an average of just 13% of nearly 13,000 family members attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border were returned to Mexico between March 14 and March 21. So, it's always good to, as we're told different things, to also then in turn look back and do some fact-checking on our own. The Epoch Times says that former President Donald Trump yesterday said that White House reporters during President Joe Biden's first press conference asked him, quote, strange and softball questions. Trump told Fox News they were strange questions and they were asked in a very interesting way. It was like softballs, like you're throwing softballs up. And it's just a different world. Nobody's seen anything like it. During the press conference, President Biden took about 30 questions. from corporate news outlets. He did not appear to take any questions from conservative-leaning outlets. Did anyone else notice that? President Trump noted that, former President Trump noted that even Fox News didn't get to ask a question. He said, it's very sad to watch, actually. They're feeding him questions. They're easy questions. Photos that were taken at Biden's press briefing show one card with facts about U.S. infrastructure and another with headshots of what appeared to be the reporters in attendance. The press briefing was limited to about 25 reporters. From WND.com, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki revealing that President Joe Biden and former President Barack Obama discuss policy solutions with each other. Is that a surprise? When asked by a reporter if there is ever collaboration between the two, Psaki noted Monday that they are much more than just former co-workers and keep in, quote, regular touch. Psaki says they were not just the president and vice president, they are friends, and they consult and talk about a range of issues. According to an official White House transcript of her remarks, she goes on to say, and you know, I would expect that continues through the course of President Biden's presidency. She also noted that they will likely talk specifics regarding health care, as Obama touted the Affordable Care Act as a key success to his administration. Earlier this week, President Biden tweeted how today marked 11 years since the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, that the landmark legislation had changed countless lives, but that the work also isn't done. President Biden saying he's committed to ensuring every American has the peace of mind that comes with quality, affordable health care. Time for maybe one or two quick more before we go to our next break. Note from Town Hall, a top communications person in the White House has instructed federal agencies to refer to the Biden administration as the Biden-Harris administration. This from a leaked memo that has confirmed this, saying, please be sure to reference the current administration as the Biden-Harris administration in official public communications. The Biden-Harris communication, the Biden-Harris administration in bold letters. The agencies that have made the change include the Departments of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, Defense, Education, Energy, Homeland Security, Interior, Labor, State, all of these, Transportation, Treasury, the VA, as well as the Attorney General's Office. And this move isn't surprising. Many of us have wondered just how much of a role Kamala Harris would play in the administration, especially when Biden accidentally referred to his administration once as the Harris administration. Do you remember that? It did happen. And it makes many wonder if this means that Kamala Harris will soon be taking over, and this is a transition between the Biden administration and the Harris administration. We shall see. We are up against that break. Hope you will stay with us as there's plenty more to get to here when Crosstalk continues. There is an overwhelming apathy that has invaded many churches and youth groups. The apathy has become so pervasive that many have abandoned sound teaching and resorted to entertainment. Instead of God's Word, activities are used to build the church or build the youth group. This troubling trend is captured in the DVD, Play the Flute, by Rich Cristiano. The story of a youth director who takes over a youth group filled with spiritual apathy. As he tries to motivate his students to get serious about their relationship with the Lord, he finds himself in an uphill battle. Although discouraged, what happens next is something he and his students will never forget. Play the Flute is available on DVD for a donation of $18 or more to VCY America. And for a limited time, additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $15 more. Call 1-800-729-9829. Friday most always brings the Friday news roundup and comment here on Crosstalk. We will get to opening the phones here shortly. We thank you for joining us here today in for Jim Schneider. This is Dalton Windsor. Jim is away for a Men for Christ conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We trust that is going well. And of course, God willing, we'll have Jim back with us on Monday. Just before we took that break, we were talking about that article from Town Hall saying that the White House from a leaked memo, is saying, do not call it the Biden administration, call it the Biden-Harris administration. Don't see any real issue with that. We certainly understand that Kamala Harris is the vice president. We understand that, but there's just added emphasis from this leaked memo. And is there more to this? Is there future plans? Well, of course, there's so much speculation out there. CNSNews.com reporting today that President Joe Biden says that Kamala Harris speaks for him, that she doesn't have to check with him. She knows what she is doing. In fact, regarding the crisis at the border, the Biden-Harris administration would deny there is a crisis, but many affirm that is exactly what it is. President Biden announcing Wednesday his appointment of Vice President Kamala Harris to handle the immigration crisis, while a Democratic congressman warned that border agents have released some 2,000 illegal aliens in the United States without even telling them they are breaking the law and must appear in court. The Washington Examiner reported the Border Patrol agents effectively are relying on the migrants to hold themselves accountable for illegally entering the country. Again, President Biden has said that when Kamala is speaking, she is speaking for him. Here's another one from CNS News. President Joe Biden sometimes appearing at a loss during his on-camera appearances, not sure what to do or where to go next. It's happened at least twice this week, most recently Wednesday, as Biden gave remarks before a cabinet meeting at the White House. After naming Kamala Harris as his point person on border security, Biden thanked her, then apparently at a loss, asked what was happening next. Quote, well, thank you for being willing to do it. Now we're going to get down to business here. And Ron, who am I turning this over to? The President of the United States asked Chief of Staff Ron Klain. Well, thank you very much, Mr. President, Klain said. I think it's time for our friends in the press to leave, though. That's what he said. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think it's time for our friends in the press to leave, though. Reporters shouted questions, but President Biden ignored them. Here's from Newsmax. Newsmax's Emerald Robinson pushed White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki to explain why National Guard troops had been allowed to sleep in parking garages while illegal immigrants got hotel rooms. That's a fair question. Why did that happen? Why did our troops, National Guard troops, sleep in parking garages while illegal immigrants got hotel rooms? Robinson noted the ongoing issues at the border, particularly the overcrowding of migrant shelters and DHS facilities, and asked about the move to supplement those facilities with hotel rooms when they were unable to accommodate the surge. Robinson began by sharing a report that $86 million, had gone to pay for hotel rooms and food for migrants who could not be housed in the main facilities that were already filled to capacity, and that our National Guard was treated one way, then illegal immigrants are going to be put in hotel rooms? Psaki made no comment about the move to place the illegal immigrants in hotel rooms, instead focusing on the National Guard and what President Joe Biden had done at the time to rectify that situation. Thankful for our troops, pray for our troops, and maybe those listening right now, you are so appreciated by your country. We are indebted to you. Here is from The Federalist along the lines of issues at the border. On Wednesday, NBC News reported the Biden administration has imposed what amounts to be a media blackout at the southwest border amid the worsening crisis. This is just this past Wednesday. Border Patrol agents, including sector chiefs and press officers, are under an unofficial gag order not to answer questions from the press. This according to four current and two former Customs and Border Protection officials. Federal officials along the border, they say, have been verbally instructed to deny all press requests for ride-alongs and to refer all media inquiries, even from local reporters, to Washington. Officials responsible for gathering data about the number of illegal immigrants in federal custody, they say, have been told not to share that information with anyone to prevent possible leaks. Now, this stands in stark contrast to the Trump administration, which gave press access to these facilities during its controversial family separation policy back in June of 2018. Likewise, the CBP routinely approved press requests for ride-alongs with Border Patrol agents during the Trump administration. You want transparency? We have had that in the past. Now, not so much. Here again from the Epoch Times, President Joe Biden's administration is going to use a third convention center to house illegal immigrant youth. The Freeman Expo Center in San Antonio is being converted to an emergency intake center for children who cross the southern border without their parents. This says that up to 2,400 kids can be housed at the facility, according to the Department of Health and Human Services and its Office of Refugee Resettlement. Quote, the emergency intake site will provide ORR, that being the Office of Refugee Resettlement. That site will provide ORR with needed capacity to accept children from Customs and Border Protection into its care where they can be safely processed. The emergency intake site is intended for use as a temporary measure. The administration has already reached deals to house up to 1,400 immigrant youth, that in the San Diego Convention Center, and up to 2,300 youth in the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center in Dallas. Additionally, officials have opened at least five other locations to hold the children, and the Pentagon accepted requests to keep thousands of youth at Fort Bliss and another several hundred at Joint Base San Antonio-Lackland. Well, obviously, there are the there is the issues, and obviously no one either side of the aisle would ever be claiming to not take care of these kids. The issue at hand is what many are debating today, and how do you go about that, and why all of a sudden are we dealing with these issues as we are? Wasn't this a problem solved? Well, we leave that to those who want to debate that. We just bring you the news, and we all make our decisions as we need to, and of course know that there is so much for a Christian to be praying about, so much. It's not a political issue to pray for others and to seek the Lord for His help. Quickly, before our next break, and before we get to your calls, hear from the Daily Wire. This is interesting. President Joe Biden reportedly under investigation for halting billions of dollars in payments that were set to go out to companies that were tasked with finishing President Donald Trump's southern border wall. This says now the Government Accountability Office is launching a review to determine whether the new president broke the law by freezing the money in violation of budget rules designed to keep Congress in control of the cash flow. This from Politico. The probe highlights the challenge presidents have historically faced in fulfilling campaign promises that require money to be spent or suspended at odds with Congress' intent. 40 Senate Republicans said in a letter to the Government Accountability Office that in the weeks that followed, President Biden suspending construction of the border wall, that operational control of our southern border was compromised and a humanitarian and national security crisis has ensued. The letter goes on. The president's actions directly contributed to this unfortunate yet entirely avoidable scenario. They are also a blatant violation of federal law and infringe on Congress's constitutional power of the purse. We write regarding these actions, we believe they violated the Empowerment Control Act, that's the ICA, as interpreted by your office, and we request your legal opinion on the matter. Prompt action to end these violations is required to restore order at the border. More than 60 Republican House lawmakers joined their Senate colleagues on Tuesday in pushing the GAO to investigate the matter. One more here from Western Journal. President Joe Biden will be following up the $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill with legislation that one report says has the goal of quickly re-engineering the country. A recent report in the New York Times said President Biden will be proposing a sweeping $3 trillion package to boost the economy, reduce carbon emissions, and narrow economic inequality, with some of that potentially being paid for by a tax increase. President Biden recently held an undisclosed East Room session with historians that included discussion of how big is too big and how fast is too fast to jam through once-in-a-lifetime historic changes to America, Axios reported. That is a tall order there, and much to digest. How big is too big? How fast is too fast to jam through, I'm just reading the article here, to jam through once-in-a-lifetime historic changes to America? This generation clearly has seen many once-in-a-lifetime issues, it seems, over just the past decade or maybe two. One more from Life News. A leftist dark money group tied to a liberal billionaire globalist, George Soros, has led the push to have Senate Democrats eliminate the filibuster, according to a new report. The Washington Free Beacon reported that the radical group Fix Our Senate is steering a coalition of 60 progressive groups to pressure moderate Democrats to eliminate the filibuster. Filibuster, which requires a 60-vote supermajority to advance legislation. Fix Our Senate has existed as a, quote, project of the leftist 1630 Fund, a nonprofit incubator managed by the D.C.-based consulting firm Arabella Advisors. Soros's Open Society Policy Center gave the 1630 Fund, wow, this is a big number, we're talking trillions of dollars here, 16 trillion. $568,483,000,000 between 2016 and 2019 alone. All in an effort to try to kill the filibuster. Friends, it's already a break time once again, and we will take it. We'll come back, look at a couple more quick stories that would include the shooting in Boulder earlier this week. And we'll get to your phone calls at 1-800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website, worldviewreport.com. Recently, the former director of national intelligence for the Trump administration, John Ratcliffe, appeared on Fox News to declare that governments all across the globe have documented the sightings of, wait for it, UFOs. He goes on to state that these objects are flying at huge speeds, supersonic speeds. But guess what? They don't give off a sonic boom. They're making turns and maneuvers that are beyond the technology of today. And frankly, they're beyond the ability of a human being to sustain such 90-degree turns at that rate of speed. What are we looking at? Well, I believe we're looking at something from the spiritual realm, preparing the world to deceive the world. Preparing the world to deceive the world. Ron Carlson, my friend, who passed away in June of 2011, finished his book, Fast Facts on False Teaching, predicting this would be how the world would be globally deceived.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. Quickly to just a few more stories before we go to your telephone calls. Obviously, tragically, earlier this week, the shooting in Boulder, Colorado, and the suspect in the deadly shooting at a Boulder, Colorado grocery store on Monday. The shooter has been identified as Ahmad Alawi Alisa. Boulder police chief saying at a press conference Tuesday, Alisa has been charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder. Herald said the 10 victims range in age from 20 to 65. The suspect was then shot in the leg and was in stable condition at an area hospital. Alisa bought a Ruger AR-556 semi-automatic rifle on March 16th, that according to documents. However, a journalist there citing an unidentified White House official saying President Biden has been briefed. The Colorado shooter had ISIS sympathies. Screenshots of the Facebook page taken by Twitter users show Alisa was a devout Muslim. In a post from June 5 of 2019, the supposed assailant said he believed he was under attack from racist Islamophobic people who were, he thought, hacking his smartphone. Yeah, if these racist Islamophobic people would stop hacking my phone and let me have a normal life, I probably could, he wrote. Of Islam, he wrote, Muslims might not be perfect, but Islam is. And obviously, we need to be praying for those that have lost loved ones and those who are suffering from this terrible tragedy in Boulder earlier this week. Why did the shooter do what he did? Supposedly did here. The investigation of the murder Monday of 10 people is only beginning, but the indication that the Syrian immigrant had ISIS sympathies combined with the supermarket's advertised kosher offerings, that would be pure, acceptable offerings, food for its significant Jewish clientele, had drawn attention on social media. In a Twitter string, a variety of users noted the store in South Boulder, that store is an area with many Jewish families, and the shooting took place in the week leading to Passover. Some pointed to a webpage that stated, the store King Zuper's is your one-stop shop for kosher groceries. Further, there's another King Super in Boulder that boasts of having the city's first kosher bakery. The Jewish News Service reported the local Jewish community was grieving the shooting, noting that it happened at our grocery store. The community of Boulder, the Jewish Community Center of Boulder, which is about 4 miles from the site of the shooting, they held a vigil Tuesday evening for local residents to connect and grieve. They say, we are traumatized. This is our home. This is our grocery store. Obviously, this tragedy happening while under such a hot-button issue. Speaking about this from the White House Tuesday, President Biden admitted that he doesn't know or have all of the facts about the shooting in Boulder, Colorado, Monday night, saying he wants to be clear, this is the one thing I do know enough to say on in terms of what's happened there. While we are still waiting for more information regarding the shooter, his motive, the weapons he used, the guns, the magazines, the weapons, the modifications that apparently have taken place with those weapons involved here, I don't need to wait another minute, let alone an hour, to take common sense steps to save lives in the future and to urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. President Biden said, we can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. I got that done when I was a senator. It passed. It was the law for the longest time. We should do it again, says President Biden. From CNSNews.com, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana pointed out the problem with Democratic gun control efforts is that they are not targeted. He told Fox News Prime Time, America is a big country. We're free. And one of the prices we pay for that freedom is that you're always going to have some people who abuse it. You're not going to stop the killings until you stop the killers, but you don't stop drunk drivers by getting rid of all sober drivers, which is what many of my Democratic friends want to do with respect to the Second Amendment. In my judgment, we do not need more gun control. We need more idiot control. That from Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. There is so many more stories, and as always, we just simply are not going to be able to get to them all, but we do want to get to some of your calls. Let's go right to it. We'll go to West Virginia, and we have George on the line. George, you're on Crosstalk.
Yes, I'm a Christian, and I listen to quite a bit of Christian radio sources, and I understand their concern, but they never seem to have an answer to or solution to the problems they're professing. But I do think that we as Christians have to begin to consider, you know, stand up for our country, and if it even comes to war, have to prepare for that, because they're advocating unconstitutional events to occur in our country. And it comes a point in time where we're running in fear, but we need to attack the problem as our forefathers did.
All right, George in West Virginia, we thank you for your calls, and we do have quite a history, not a perfect one, but we still have freedom, and that needs to be defended. We thank you for calling. Greg is in Minnesota. Greg, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just saw an article today. It doesn't have a lot to do with what was going on on the show, but they said Minnesota Theater Company is canceling Cinderella because the cast was too white.
Okay, that was the headline?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you for the call, Greg. It is the day in which we live. Let's go to Courtney in Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney.
God bless all you saints, and thank you for taking my call. I just want to say this. I'm an 80-year-old veteran, and I never heard such a weak, lying president on talking about the border, and his thing is to turn America into a socialist country. And there was a mother that called the other day and wanted to know what to do with the $1,400. This is just a suggestion. You can give to Israel My Glory, which is on your station. They got a ministry where they're teaching the Jewish people Isaiah 53, who the Messiah is. Also, at Walmart, there's a sale on King James Bibles, and buy some. And ask God to guide you to who to give them to. We want to seek the lost. That's who he will guide you to. And Bible tracts. There's a way to do it. And with all this darkness, there is light. No, we cannot compromise with the devil's way of life.
And Courtney, as always, we thank you for your call. We are simply out of time. Despite all of the bad news, there is always the good news of a God who loves and has shown his love through his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. Let's remember what has been done on our behalf.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.